Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Psychologists say that we all go around carrying psychological baggage, and the biggest and heaviest cases which we lug around carry the label guilt. So this is a pastoral, therapeutic programme exploring our passionate feelings of guilt and how we can lay our burdens down. Guilt comes upon us for many reasons, sometimes because we're guilty, but not always. For example, grief always comes with an element of guilt. If only I had said or not said this or that. If only I'd done or not done something or other. But usually we're not really guilty, it's just that we find a way of blaming ourselves for something. But imagine how bad it must be if we really have been guilty, if we did shoot our mother. How can we live with that? Guilt is not all to do with sex, but there's a lot of guilt tied into sex. Guilt can often spoil what is in itself pure and holy and precious. Guilt can be a healthy and instructive God-given conscience at work, but it can also be just a confused conclusion of a mixture of social taboos and unthought-through prejudices. So let's pick up the theme of guilt with a confused and potentially guilt-ridden Katie Melua.
Got God on the drums and the devil on the bass. If you wanna dance, you better find a space. Between the horns and the angel face, is this the night you're gonna fall from grace? With God on the drums and the devil on the bass. Of madness, it's happened before. It could turn into sadness or a civil war. You've got me changing all I ever thought. When you first got so mad, lost your eyes, trying to save some trees, angry cries, saw your thighs, then I fell to my knees. Oh my God, what is this? It's a moment of madness. When we drank too much beer, lost our feet, our defenses were down. You got up, tried your luck, bought a dubious round. It can be hard to resist. It's a moment of madness. Thank you. promise of passion, a trailer of sin, a smiling assassin, the demon within. Endorphins are raging, resistance is thin. Then you're blowing my mind, 'cause I find that your theories of life are insane. Feed my brain, I could listen all night. I can't leave till we kiss. It's a moment of madness, and I just wanna stare at your hair and imagine. It's a moment of madness.
And here's Rosemary feeling sorry. Bible, the best expression of guilt is Psalm 51, written by King David after he'd done a very bad thing. He fancied another man's wife named Bathsheba, so he had the man killed in battle so that he could marry Bathsheba as a widow. David was racked with guilt, and he wrote Psalm 51, saying these words: "Be merciful to me, O God, because of your constant love. Because of your great mercy, wipe away my sins. Wash away all my evil and make me clean from my sin. I recognize my faults. I'm always conscious of my sins. I have sinned against you and done what you consider evil. I've been evil from the day I was born. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new and right spirit in me." David's lusting after Bathsheba left David feeling elated at getting his prize catch, but deflated because he caught a huge dose of guilt with it. Leonard Cohen put all this into the now famous song sung by himself and many artists, including Alexandra Burke.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's not just Leonard and Alexandra, or King David and Bathsheba, who feel guilty. It's everyone, going all the way back to the dawn of time and Adam and Eve, as Don Francisco reminds us.
Unashamed and naked in a garden that has never seen the rain. Rulers of a kingdom full of joy, never marred by any pain. The morning all around them seems to celebrate the life they've just begun. In the majesty of innocence, the king and queen come walking in the sun. But the master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. And with all his craft and subtlety, the serpent twists the simple truth they've heard. While hanging in the balance is a world that has been placed at their command. And all their unborn children die as both of them bow down to Satan's hand. Then just before the evening, in the cool of the day, they hear the voice of God as he is walking. But they can't abide his presence now, so they try to hide away. But still they hear the sound as he is calling. Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam, Adam, where are you?
You are listening to 3TFM as we try to get to grips with the universal problem of guilt. There is so much to say, but we've only time to focus on two famous people who are classic cases of guilt, but who found two very different solutions to their guilt problems. Let Jamie Stewart and his Glasgow Bible introduce them to you.
Then one of the 12 disciples, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest Caiaphas and said, what will you gie if I lead you to Jesus? They counted out 30 coins and gave them to Judas. So, for that time on, he watched out for the best way to betray Jesus. Jesus then led his friends to a quiet garden they called Gethsemane near the Mount of Olives. While he was speaking to them, Judas Iscariot arrived along with a mob kitted up with swords and clubs. They'd been sent by the elders and the head priests. Judas had given them a signal to watch out for, saying, "Keep your eyes on me, I'll give a kiss to the man you're after." The traitor made straight for Jesus and embraced him, saying, "Hello, Master." Jesus answered him, "Judas, my friend, just do your deed, but do it quickly."
Chose to betray the Lord, and why?
to show them that's not what a kiss is for. Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain, and only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain.
When Judas, the traitor, saw Jesus condemned, he was like, "I sorry man." So he went back to the Jewish headmen with the money. "I was wrong, so I was. I've put an innocent man to his death." "That's your own problem, Judas," they told him. "It's no concern to us." So Judas threw the coins over the floor of the temple. Then he walked to the outskirts of the city. And what did he do? He hung his cell.
Judas was so racked with guilt for betraying his lord and master and friend that he went and hung himself. Contrast his reaction with that of Peter, who also was guilty of hurting Jesus, as Jamie Stewart explains.
Meantime, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and this bird comes up to him and says, "Well, you know a pal of that Jesus, the man for Galilee?" "Don't know what you're blethering about," said Peter. Then he went out into the porch, and another lassie spots him, and she cries to the folks standing around, "See this young here? He was lying with that Nazarene." Once more, Peter denied it and swore at them, "I've told you, I don't ken the man." But mare of the folk thought for a bit and said to Peter, "Oh, just hold on a minute, by the way. You're so one of them with that Jesus, for the way you speak gives you away." Peter started to curse at them. "I'm telling you the truth. I dinna ken that man." Just then, a cock began to crow, and Peter was minded what Jesus had told him. "Afore the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." Big and all as he was, Peter crept outside and began to greet.
How easy to see that we love him when everything's fine. How easy to see that we love him when everything's fine. Yet Peter was afraid to say that he knew Jesus. Yet Peter was afraid to say that he knew Jesus. When they took him away, and Jesus had said before the cock crows, "You'll deny me three times." And Jesus had said before the cock crows, "You'll deny me three times." Yet Peter was afraid to say that he knew Jesus. Yet Peter was afraid to say that he knew Jesus. When they took him away, and Peter had said, "I won't leave you, Lord, even though I'm the last. Even though I have to die, I won't leave you, Lord, even though I'm the last." Yet Peter was afraid to say that he knew Jesus. Yet Peter was afraid to say that he knew Jesus. When they took him away,
Peter instantly regretted what he had done. He was ashamed, and he went out and he wept bitterly. He was full of remorse and guilt. Well, he was guilty. What he did was terrible. He had let his friend down. He'd let his Lord and Master, his God, down. He had crucified Jesus, not by driving nails into his cross, but by driving nails into his heart. Not by active commission, but by weak omission, failing to stand up and be counted when it mattered. Peter felt like all of us, if only. Why did I do that? I wish I hadn't. I don't want it to end this way. Oh God, I am sorry, sorry, so sorry. But no amount of sorries makes a difference. It's like Pontius Pilate trying in vain to wash his hands and his heart clean. Like Macbeth, we find that blood-stained hands can never be washed clean. Guilt sticks, it doesn't wash off. But there is good news. There is a cure, an antidote, a way to get past living with guilt for the rest of our lives. Forgiveness. Jesus forgives Peter, and Jesus helps Peter to accept the gracious gift of forgiveness. Jesus takes Peter aside and asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he replies. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I do." "Peter, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Jesus asks three times to match the three denials, and so exorcises the ghost of guilt which had so haunted Peter. The spiritual surgery stung a bit, but it healed the wound. Peter was given a fresh new start and commissioned to be the leader of the disciples. Judas presumed that there was no hope for him, so he wrote his life off. He didn't give Jesus a chance to forgive him and to heal him of his guilt. Peter, on the other hand, hung around and accepted Jesus' gift of forgiveness, and he did spend the rest of his life serving Jesus.
Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven, exalted.
In John Bunyan's famous book, Pilgrim's Progress, which is all about our spiritual journey through life from guilty sinner to forgiven sinner, the main character, the pilgrim called Christian, experiences the cure for guilt. He stands at the cross of Jesus and stares at Jesus, who is giving his life for him, a guilty person who had gone around with a huge burden on his back, the burden of all his guilt. But as Christian stands in awe of Jesus' love and self-sacrifice for him, His burden of guilt falls off his back and rolls down Calvary Hill, all the way down to the bottom and into an empty tomb to be buried there forever. Now Christian is free from guilt. Now he is a forgiven hyphen sinner, always likely to sin, but always forgiven. He is washed clean. We can live guilt-free. That is really worth celebrating. So I leave you with this upbeat song, O Happy Day.